ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 4 பாதா 2 வாகதிகரணம். வாங் மனசி தர்ஷனாச்சப்தாச்ச அத்தயேவச்ச சர்வாண்யனு மனோதிகரணம் தன் மனஹ பிராண உத்தராத அத்யக்ஷாதிகரணம் சோத்யக்ஷே தத் உபகமாதிப்யஹ பூதேஷு தத் ஸ்ருதேஹே நைகஸ்மின் தர்ஷயதோஹி ஆஸ்ருத்யுபக்ரமாதிகரணம் சமானாச்ச ஆஸ்ருத்யுபக்ரம் உபக்ரமாத் அமிர்தத்வம் ச அனுபோஷ்ய அனுபோஷ்ம அனுபோஷ்ய சம்சார விபதேஷாதிகரணம். I think we have to start with this, I guess. சம்சார விபதேஷாதிகரணம். We saw up to the 7th sutra in the last class. Now we will start with the next sutra, சம்சார விபதேஷாதிகரணம். This is the 5th adhikaranam of this pada. Tadapitehe samsara vipadeshat. Tadapitehe samsara vipadeshat. 8th sutra, 2nd pada, 4th chapter, 504th running Brahma Sutra. So the subject matter of this adhikaranam is, Vyasacharya goes further into the main mantra of Chandogya Upanishad 6.8.6. That we have seen in the last class. Asya somya purushasya prayataha vang manasi sampadyate manaha prane pranaha tejasi tejaha parasyam devatayam. We saw this mantra in the last class. Now we have one more part, tejaha parasyam devatayam, to analyze. Now tejaha, so far, all sense organs resolve into mind, and mind resolves into prana, and we have the loaded prana now, joined now with two units. One is jiva, the chidabhasa. When I talk about jiva, we should understand it is chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness, and the other is shariram, the future physical body. You have to be careful. It is future physical body in subtle form. I made it clear in the last class itself, it is not subtle body, the sukshma shariram, but is the gross body in subtle form. Future subtle gross body, physical body. So loaded prana means it is nothing but prana plus mind and the jiva. So it is nothing but sukshma shariram and also the future sula shariram and chidabhasa, jiva mixed together. And all the three units put together is represented as tejaha here. It consists of sukshma shariram and future stula shariram and jiva, the chidabhasa. And that alone travels, whether upasaka or non-upasaka, for both of them only that alone travels. So what happens to that is the question here. And Chandogya Upanishad says, tejaha parasyam devatayam. That is what we just now read in the mantra. Tejaha parasyam devataya. So the group of three components, we expect it to travel. But Chandogya Upanishad says, this group merges into Brahman. Paradevata, devatayam refers to here. Parasyam devatayam is paradevata. It is referred to here as Brahman. So the confusion here will be what? If the jiva, that unit, merges into Parambrahman, then we call it what? We call it moksha. After ultimately merging with Brahman, Brahman alone, we call it moksha. This ajnani or karmi or upasaka, we are talking about those people, not jnanis. They merge into Paradevata, that means they get moksha. So according to this, all the dying people, they attain moksha. So the mantra begins with a general statement. The qualification for moksha is death. That's what it says. So when this doubt comes, then we have to clarify. This, anybody can have this doubt. No doubt jiva merges into Brahman. It is relative and it is not absolute merger. We have to understand. This is apekshika brahmalayaha and not atyantika brahmalayaha. Brahman is here itself. Permanent merger takes place in the case of a jnani only. In the case of an ajnani, brahmalayam takes place how? Next fructifying prarabdha that will be there. Sukshma shariram will be there. And it will, after temporary merger, will take appropriate marga, again take birth, just like a person getting awake after deep sleep. So in Chandogya Upanishad, in the very same section, in the beginning, Sushupti was analyzed. We have discussed all this during the Chandogya discussions. Sushupti was analyzed at that time. And in the Sushupti analysis, deep sleep analysis, it very clearly says, the Upanishad says, every jiva merges into Brahman in Sushupti because we love our individuality. We don't want to leave it. And all our karmas are suspended during Sushupti and we are one with Brahman. So if Maranam becomes moksha because of Brahmalayam, Sushupti also would be moksha. If Brahmalaya is moksha, Sushupti is enough to get moksha. But we know after sleep, the person comes back again to life as he wakes up. So in Sushupti, there is apekshika brahmalaya only. So in the second section, seventh mantra of Kathopanishad that we read in the last class also, that is a pramanam in this regard I mentioned. Yonimanye prapadhyante shariratvaya dehinaha sthanumanyenu sanyanti yatha karma yatha shrutam. Some jivas, dehinaha, they go into various wombs to be embodied, to be born again. Others pass into the immovable, sthanumanye, according to their own karma, yata karma, yata shrutam, and according to their own understanding, knowledge. So this is one argument which Vyasacharya gives. In only jnani's case, videha mukti is there. That is, authentic liberation is there only in jnani's case. Here Vyasacharya clearly says the Brahma Laya takes place in sleep and also in Maranam of all others. It is our experience and also scripturally also it is made clear. The Jiva keeps its individuality in deep sleep and also in Maranam. In individual deep sleep we all know. In Maranam also, it keeps its individuality, even though Jiva merges into Brahman temporarily, as we also merge into Brahman every day during sleep. So even in Pralaya, Jiva merges into Brahman, retaining its individuality. This will go only through Jnanam. This cannot go through any other process. And the second part Vyasacharya says is, if this is not accepted, twofold problems will be there. All the travel after death will become then invalid statements. Samsara vakyani, all of them will become redundant if moksha takes place after death. So all the scriptures, they talk about after death, all the things, processes after death, they all will become invalid. All karmakanda vakyas will become apramanam. Since it talks of jiva going to higher lokas, so many punya lokas, if Maranam is going to take to Brahma Layaha, not even Brahma Loka, Brahma Layaha. So this will be a problem. And the third problem is Vedanta Shastram will itself become redundant. Because if you know that the death will give moksha, then where is the need for gaining jnanam at all? Going to classes and reading Shastras, no need. I can wind up all my Brahma Sutra classes. Samsara Vakyam and all will become apramanam. Shankaracharya actually adds three more arguments here. Vidhi Shastra Virodaha. Vidhi Shastra Virodaha. If death is moksha, the entire karmakanda will become redundant. And if at the time of death, if all jivas get moksha, then whatever punyam the jiva has acquired through rituals, one will, instead of going to Swargaloka and all, they will all get resolved into moksha. And the second argument he gives is, Vidya Shastra Virodha or Vayartha, we call it. All Vedanta Shastra will become redundant. if maranam gives moksha. We are all talking about agnanis, understand? And why should jiva study Vedanta and struggle to gain moksha at all? And the third argument is logic also. Samsara is caused by ignorance, which has been made clear in all scriptures. And if ignorance is the cause and samsara is the effect, ignorance is avidya. If ignorance is the cause and samsara is effect, we should remember the law. The effect will go only if the cause goes away. That means ajnana nashe evam samsara karya nashaha. It is moksha praptihi that will happen. Logically, only when ignorance is gone, moksha is possible. This universal law will be violated if every ignorant person merges with Brahman at the time of death without destroying ignorance. So it is violation. All ajnanis also will get moksha. It is a violation of the universal law, karana nashe karya nashaha. Because of these arguments, tejas merges only temporarily in the case of ignorant people. It is exactly as in sushupti, deep sleep. And last also, I will just mention about an incidental topic. The Purvapakshi says, why should dying jiva temporarily merge into Brahman? It is Purvapakshi's question. Then we ask him, why should Ajnani Jiva merge into Brahman in Sushupti, in deep sleep? He says, Jiva is tired. He doesn't want to leave it. He says, Jiva is tired. He works for the full day and also he goes to sleep. And in Sushupti, the tired Jiva goes into its rest so that he can be active next day. That is the reason he says. Then Siddhanti says, at the time of death also, jiva has undergone lot of strain, pranavastha, at the time of withdrawal of the karana. They have caused tremendous trouble and not ready for the journey, final journey yet. So if the local packing is so tiresome, local packing is, even the sushupti is so tiresome, what to talk of the biggest packing for maranam? So this is Siddhanti's argument also. Now let us give the word analysis for this sutra. Tadapitehe samsara vipadeshat. Tat means that fire principle, tejas principle, which we saw in the Chandogya mantra, which is that we can call it the jiva nucleus that continues to exist. Tadapitehe until liberation. Samsara vipadeshat. This is known from the Shruti statements revealing rebirth. Now let us see the significance of these words. Tad means fire principle, and here tejas, tejaha, that represents the jiva principle, the jiva nucleus I mentioned, consisting of three components. It will not permanently merge. A apitehe, that means up to or until, that is until moksha. So moksha takes place only on gaining jnanam. So up to moksha means what? It does not include moksha. Up to moksha does not include moksha. So samsara vipadeshad means rebirth, that represents travel of one body to another. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam cycle. It is the shruti vakyam. Samsara bodhaka shruti vakyam, samsara vipadeshad. This is known from Shruti statement, which reveals that jiva travels after death of ajnanis. From this, it is clear that the merger is temporary and it is not permanent. Because we said the jiva merges with Brahman, that Brahmalayaha is only temporary, as we have during Sushupti. Now let us go to the next sutra, Sutra 9. Sukshmam pramanatascha. Tatopalabdehe. Ninth sutra, second pada, fourth chapter. Sukshmam pramanatahacha tatopalabdehe. It has been made clear in the previous sutra that the jiva nucleus leaves, jiva nucleus, and I say you should understand satchidabhasa and all that. It leaves the physical body at the time of death. How come we are not able to then perceive that? We say it's a travel, or we are not able to see the departure. departure is presumed or it is only presumed or only inferred. There is no specific pramanam to perceive the departure of the soul, of the jiva. We are not able to see. So some people, they uniformly say that all these are all cock and bull story made by those brahmanas to make money and all that thing those days. More and more nastikas are questioning, and all people have started questioning, and that is why shraddhas, etc. are coming down. They lost faith in all this. All the rituals, people don't believe. Vyasacharya says, I know you will ask this question. He says, we do not perceive, not because of non-existence of jiva nucleus, but because our instruments are not equipped to perceive the departure of the jiva nucleus because it is very subtle. There are two forms of subtlety also, just as digression. One is, for example, we say Vayu is subtle. Vayu is subtle even though it is all pervading because of its subtle nature. Because Vayu's nature is subtle nature, and because of that we do not perceive even though Vayu pervades all over. And there is another type of subtlety also. Even a gross object will be subtle if the size is minutest. So it is imperceptible. Swarupa sukshmatvam and pramana sukshmatvam. It may be all pervading. It is because its nature is like that. Vayu's nature is like that. It is swarupam. It is all pervading. So you cannot perceive. And in the case of a wood, for example, you take a wood piece. If you make it finer and finer particles by crushing it, you cannot see the finest particle because it becomes too small to perceive. And if you take the jiva nucleus with its three components, Chitabhasa is one component, Sukshma Shariram is another component, and the potential future Stula Sharira. I mentioned it in the last class. At the time of cremation itself, it gets formed. So all these three components. So the first two components, namely the Chidabhasa and the Sukshma Shariram, they cannot be perceived because it is Swarupa Lakshanam. It's Swarupadaya, it is imperceptible. Its Swarupam is like that. And even in the living person, I cannot see them because it is imperceptible. But the potential future physical body, which it carries consisting of the fine raw materials, will not be visible also. Why? Because the grass body, which will grow into a big body later, is very, very minute now, like a dust particle. This is the answer to the first question. And Vyasacharya again further analyzes, says, if jiva nucleus with the raw material for next physical body has to travel, it should not be obstructed by any objects. But we find jiva is able to penetrate the physical body and go out. Because for a dying person, it goes out the physical body, penetrate the physical body and get out. So even if doors of the house is closed, still the jiva is able to go out. How? For that, the answer is sukshmatvat. Shankaracharya gives the example here. When the jiva nucleus is very fine, like rays of light, it can penetrate through transparent glass. So also the jiva nucleus can penetrate, or no grass obstacle can stop the traveling jiva because of this reason. So finally, one more point also is, given this Shankaracharya gives example. Finally, one more point is, how do we prove the jiva is fine? He says it's fine, subtle and all that. How do you prove it is fine? This can be inferred because the Shastra talks about the jiva traveling through the nadis to come out. Nadis are supposed to be very minute. According to Shastra, nadi is very small and very fine. And if jiva is to travel through the nadis, it has to be very, very subtle, sukshma. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutta. Sukshmam pramanataha cha tatha upalabdehe. Sukshmam. Sukshmam means the jiva nucleus is subtle. Pramanataha. In terms of size. Here pramana refers to the size. Size cha and nature. Upalabdehe, because it is understood. Tatha. So from the scriptural statement, now let us see the significance of this. This is just a running meaning. I'll give the significance of the words. Sukshmam is subtle. the jiva nucleus represented by the word tejaha in this Chandogya mantra, that is sukshmam. It is very small in size. And the commentators, they give the example also. For example, when you sweep the floor, lot of dust particles, they are seen in the atmosphere. Don't use all this vacuum cleaner and all, the way with the broom, the classical way of the cleaning, brooming. So a lot of dust particles seen in the atmosphere. And when the sun's beams of light come through the window, there you can see the swept particles floating around. So is it grass or subtle now? Still it is subtle only because of the minuteness of size. So pramanataha in terms of its size, and the cha indicates sorupaha cha. It is subtle in terms of its nature, like the mind. Upalabdehe. Upalabdehe means knowledge, because we get the knowledge. Tatha, in this manner. In this manner only we get this knowledge. That it is subtle in measurement, and it is also subtle by nature from the Shruti statement. Shruti clearly talks about traveling through very fine nadis as per scriptures. We have seen all these things in our Upanishad lectures. Now let us go to the next sutra. Nopamardenataha. Simple sutra. Nopamardenataha. 10th sutra, 2nd pada, 4th chapter. 506th running Brahma Sutra. The jiva nucleus is extremely subtle, both in terms of size and nature, we just saw. And because of this nature only, when the body is destroyed or burnt, nothing happens to the jiva nucleus because it is so subtle. It is not affected by fire, water, or even atom bomb, or even if it is consumed to flames. It is applied to sukshma shariram also. So even the greatest weapon cannot destroy, it can destroy only the sthula shariram. The greatest weapon can destroy only the gross body, and not the subtle body, sukshma shariram. Not only sukshma shariram survives, but also it travels. The destruction of the body cannot destroy the jiva nucleus. It survives. So this is even during the pralayam, not just only at the time of death of an individual. Even during pralayam, the 14 lokas are destroyed. That is, in the next srishti, after pralayam, jiva nucleus will still continue. The nucleus includes the karana shariram also. That is why dhata yata purvam akalpayate. Brahmaji created the next universe based on the previous universe only, as it was done earlier, because all the other things in such form, they all survive, they are still there. So the nucleus includes that karanana, the karana shariram also. Again, the utkranti, leaving from the body is tremendously tedious on me. And hence the jiva nucleus takes rest in Brahma, as we mentioned earlier. As we take rest during sleep, this jiva nucleus at the time of death, it also rests in Brahman. The time taken by the jiva nucleus varies from individual to individual, depending on their punya papa karma and all that. So just as some people wake up after sleeping for a few hours, while some others, they take much longer time. If it is Saturday, Sunday, it's even worse. So this is depending on the individual. Now let us see the word analysis. Nopamardena ataha, very compound word, na plus upamardena plus ataha. That is how it is split. Na plus upamardena plus ataha. 10th sutra, 506th running Brahma Sutra. Ataha, therefore, na. Na means the jiva nucleus is not destroyed. Na. Upamardena, by the destruction of the physical body. That is a simple statement. The jiva nucleus is not destroyed by the destruction of the physical body. That is the running meaning of this sutra. Now let us see the significance of the words. Ataha. Ataha means here, therefore, because the jiva nucleus in terms of size and nature that we saw in the last sutra, na, jiva nucleus is not destroyed. Upamardena, by the destruction of the sthula shariram. Sthula shariram does not destroy sukshma shariram, because sthula shariram, when a person is dead, they bury him, burn him, all that. But sthula shariram, by destroying the sthula shariram, the sukshma shariram doesn't die. When someone cuts the head, for example, he can cut the sthula shariram, but not the sukshma shariram. When the sthula shariram drowns, also in water or anywhere, Sukshma Shariram is not drowned. Because Krishna says all this in Bhagavad Gita. Because of subtlety, Jiva is invisible. Jiva is unstoppable. We already saw. It is indestructible. So when the Stula Shariram is destroyed, the Sukshma Shariram is not destroyed at the time of death. It is not Marana Anantaram. And after the death of that person, this law is not relevant because Stula Sharira Nase, Sukshma Sharira Nashaha. It is Nabhavati, it doesn't happen. After Maranam, Stula Shariram is there, is here, and Sukshma is here means what? It is not alive, but it is there. Sukshma Shariram has already left the body and gone. Only both are together, there is doubt. But once Sukshma Shariram leaves, it is unaffected and it is undestroyable. Let us go to the next sutra. Asya evacha upapattehe yesha ushma. 11th sutra, 2nd pada, 4th chapter, 507th Nani Brahma Sutra. Let us go to the general analysis of this sutra. Same adhikarnam. In all the three sutras we just read, Vyasacharya is dealing with the jiva nucleus, which is an intermediary entity. The jiva nucleus is an intermediary entity. It travels and all. And it does not come under Atma category at all. And now we talk about the traveling jiva, the jiva nucleus, all that, which is different from physical body also, because physical body is dead and gone, buried, cremated. And we introduce an intermediary body of jiva, which is important when we talk of rebirth. Already I told, right at the time of cremation, this body is created already, very subtle though. Subtle grass body. Atma does not travel, and you cannot talk about body traveling. Body is dead and gone. Atma travel does, Atma is everywhere. So Atma is also not traveling. So we should understand. Because we already defined what is travel. Travel is from a place where you are to a place where you are not. Atma is everywhere, so it cannot travel. But what travels is the intermediary jiva nucleus. And the three sutras that we just read, they are important. And they talk about a new entity. New entity which is different from Shariram as well as Atma. It's a new entity. He has talked about its invisibility. We saw that. Unstoppability and also indestructibility. We already saw all these three. And this nucleus alone lends the warmth of life to the body. How interesting. This nucleus only lends the warmth of life to the body. The body heat which we experience is lent by the jiva nucleus alone. It is not the nature of the physical body. And warmth of the body belongs to jiva nucleus. As jiva nucleus quits the body, body becomes cold. Body does not have heat indicates that it is a borrowed property. When we say body does not have heat, it has heat all the time. When heat left, body becomes cold. So it's a borrowed property of the body. And because it is a borrowed property, that means somebody lends the heat. Someone should lend the heat to it. It is not Sachidananda Atma, but it is Jiva nucleus. It is not the Chit that lends the warmth. Then in the dead body also Chit will be very much there. If Chit lends the warmth, the dead body will have warmth. There is something other than Chit, which is absent in the dead body, which is other than Chit. That is the life, which is in the life body, that is Jiva nucleus, Achidabhasa. Jiva, nucleus, Chidabhasa, all those things. That is the one that is lending this heat. Therefore, in this sutra, Vyasacharya, Jiva, Chidabhasa is reflected consciousness. Understand that. You should be aware of all these terms quickly. Therefore, in this sutra, Vyasacharya says, warmth of the body does not belong to the body, but it belongs to the Jiva nucleus. Jiva nucleus, when I say, we should understand all the three components. And the second point is that we can know it through our Anvaya Vyatireka, the popular Anvaya Vyatireka logic also. When Chidabhasa is in body, warmth of life is there in the body. When it is not there, warmth is not there. Very simple logic. When warmth is not there, people decide that life is gone. They touch the body and see no heat. They conclude body is dead. So, and Jiva's another feature is indicated also, that is warmth of life. Now let us do the word analysis. Asya evacha upapatte resha ushma. Cha means moreover. Yeshaha Ushma, the warmth of life, Ushnam. Asya Eva belongs to this Jiva nucleus only. And to connect it to the sixth chapter, eighth section, sixth mantra, 6.8.6 or Chandogya that we just read, Jiva nucleus was given a technical word which we must remember. What was that? Asya Somyam Purushasya Prayataha Vang Manasi Sampadyate Manaha Prane Pranaha Tejasi. Tejaha Parasyam Devatayam. That technical word is Tejaha. So that Tejas Tattvam, the Jiva nucleus now. So Upapaddehe, this is known from the reasoning of Anvaya Vetireka. Co-presence and co-absence are simultaneous existence and simultaneous absence. All these terms we have seen earlier many times. And Sankaracharya quotes Shruti also here. Ushnaha evam jivishyannam shitaha marishyannam. Body is warm when the Jiva nucleus is there. Ushnaha evam. And cold when the Jiva nucleus departs. Shitaha. Now let us see the significance of the words. Asya eva. The Jiva nucleus referred to as Tejas Tattvam. Even though we feel the warmth of the body, it does not belong to the body. It belongs to the Tejas or Jiva nucleus. And the fourth feature is, it is lender of the warmth also. Upapattehe means reasoning. And here reasoning is Anvaya Vetireka reasoning that we just concluded. Yeshaha Ushma, the warmth of the body of our life. Yeshaha. This, because for feeling the warmth of life, you need to touch somebody else too, or you can touch yourself also to experience you have touched your own body to know the heat. It is the way how you find the warmth of the body. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam, sixth adhikaranam, pratishedadhikaranam. Pratishedaditi chete na sharirat. Pradishedati chete na sharirate 12th sutra, 2nd pada, 4th chapter, 507th running Brahma Sutra. The sutra consists of two parts. That is objection and also the reply. The objection portion is Pradishedati chete. Up to that is objection. The reply is na sharirat. Now let us see a general introduction to this Adhikaranam with three sutras. There are three sutras in this Adhikaranam, 12 to 14. The subject matter in this Adhikaranam is the implied meaning of the previous Adhikaranam is to be analyzed here. The previous Adhikaranam has got an implicit hidden meaning, and that hidden idea is brought forward and it is discussed here. And many people likely to miss this implicit meaning. To know that implicit idea, we have to refer to the eighth sutra that we just completed, Tadapitehe Samsara Vyapadeshate, in this particular pada itself. And there it was said that the Jiva nucleus will continue and it will travel until it is liberated. And in this, it can be many janmas, but it will still continue to travel till it is liberated. And in this, there is an implicit idea that is not mentioned. Until knowledge, Atmajnanam, Jiva will travel. That means what? After knowledge, Jiva does not travel. Jiva of a Jnani does not travel is the implicit idea of the previous Adhikarana. We know this because we have heard it all the time. But till it is known, because we have been discussing all the time, this will be a new information. Jiva of a Jnani does not travel. That is the implicit idea. Jnani jivasya gatihi nasti, utkranti nasti. All those things are not there for a jnani. That's why all the time I mentioned it's all for a jnani, it's a jnanis. Here in this adhikaranam, Vyasacharya debates whether jnani has utkranti and gati or not. And Purupakshi will say jnani also has got utkranti and gati. And our Siddhanta, it will say no. Jnani Jiva does not have Utkranti and Gati. Utkranti means departure. Gati means travel. So Utkranti, the withdrawal of all the things for departure and having assembled in the heart, put them all at the time of death, you know, all these things come to the dot and go through the nadis and all, we have already mentioned many times. assembled in the heart, going through the Shukla Gati Marga, that is a travel for the Supasaka. This is the general information we have to understand when we look at this particular adhikarana. Now I will give the general analysis of this sutra that we read. Purvapakshi, he negates our view as usual and establishes that view in Sutra 8 that we just read. We say Jiva does not have Ukranti and Gati because of Shastra Pramana. Jnani Jiva. So regarding travel and non-travel, there is no other pramanam except Shastra Pramanam. Don't ask science, this, that, and all doesn't make sense. We will not go into all that. Shastra says, and that's it. Veda talks of something which is not accessible to science. Veda deals with topics which are not accessible to science. We know many times, we are told many times. Yet a lot of people raise this question, even after knowing the fact about Veda. We also forget the definition of Veda also. Veda deals with apaurushaya vishayas only. Jiva's death, travel, after death, they are all apaurushaya vishayas. Shastra says, Ajnani travels and Jnani does not travel. We have to accept Shastra Pramanam in the absence of any other proof. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th Brahmanam, 6th mantra says, Yaha akamaha nishkamaha aptakamaha atmakamaha na tasya pranaha utkramanti brahmaivasan brahmapyeti. He who does not have desire, yaha akamaha, who without desire, nishkamaha, whose desire is satisfied, aptakamaha, whose desire is the very self itself, atmakamaha, na tasya pranaha utkramanti, his breath do not depart. Why? Brahmaivasanne brahmapyeti. Being Brahman, he goes to Brahman. So all his desires are fulfilled on gaining jnanam. Kama rahita means he does not have even the moksha desire, because he is a liberated person already. Who will not have moksha desire? Only who is already liberated. For that jnani, all the pranas, including indriyas, do not withdraw or travel. This is indicated by Shruti's negation of Jnani's withdrawal and travel. Shruti's negation, understand. When we quote this mantra, Purvapakshi says, your interpretation is wrong, as usual. He says, Tasya Prana means Jnani's Prana. It only has said that Jnani's Prana do not leave. It says that much, right? But what it does not say, leave from what, it does not say. So that is not clear. We are not able to trace this from this mantra. Jnani's prana does not travel, correct. Karna's leave, that's correct. Leave from what? Leaving what place or from where is not mentioned in the mantra. So apadana, apadana means detachment, separation. That is not mentioned in Shruti. And you insert the idea and say that the Jnani's prana do not leave the body. You yourself say all that. So he says it is not said in the Veda. It means Jnani's prana leaves the body. Then when Shruti says Jnani's prana does not leave, means leave Chidabhasa. When Shruti says it is not leaving the Chidabhasa. Whereas when the Purvapakshi interprets, he says it does not leave the body. I hope you understand the difference. The Purvapakshi tries to interpret this as, It means Jnani's prana leaves the body, is his conclusion. Whereas we say, the Shruti says Jnani's prana does not leave the Chidabhasa. It leaves the body. When Jnani's death happens, Chidabhasa leaves the body, and along with it, prana leaves. And having left the physical body, they travel together. And prana does not leave means prana does not leave the Chidabhasa. Purvapakshi says in the case of Jnani also both travel together. It's a mistake he makes. Prana does not leave the Chidabhasa. Therefore, apadanam of leaving the place of separation is physical body according to Advaitin, and according to Purvapakshi, it is according to the Jiva. I hope that you understand the difference. The body and the Jiva. Jiva nucleus. And here we quote the fourth chapter, fourth section, sixth mantra, Brihadaranyaka, as our Pramana Vakyam. Natasya Utkramanti, the prana does not leave, and prana refers to all the 17 indriyas of Sukshma Shadiram. All those Jnanendriyas, Karmendriyas, Pancha Prana Deha, Manas, and all Buddhi, all those 17. And Jnani's prana do not leave. His is a pronoun. And by the study of context, we know it is Jnani. In the usage, when it says his, it's a pronoun. And by context, we understand it should be a Jnani. So if Vedantin says so, Purvapakshi says, I cannot accept. Purvapakshi's argument is that there is Pratishedha Vakyam. He says, you carefully studied the statement. It says, Jnani Jiva's prana does not leave. But Shruti does not say leave what? So that apadanam, the point of departure, is not mentioned in the Vakyam. I'm just only recapping. So Purvapakshi says, Jnani's prana leaves the body. If it does not leave the body, the problem will be the body will not die. According to him. Okay, he has also a reason. If prana doesn't leave the body, then body will not die. It has to leave the body. Then only death will happen. Then the body will be alive all the time if it doesn't. This is not possible. So whenever a particular point is not clear, then we look for clarification in some other place. This is, you know, we have gone through this exercise many times earlier also. And there is another branch of Yajurveda called the Shukla Yajurveda. And it has got two branches. One is called the Kanva Shaka and the other one is called Madhyandina Shaka. There are two branches in that Shukla Yajurveda. And in Kanva Shaka also, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad occurs. And it also occurs in the Madhyandina Shaka also with a very slight variation. Na tasmat prana utkramanti is the sentence. From that we gather the Jnani Jiva's prana does not leave the Jiva. Jnani Jiva. It is clear that's the Jiva nucleus. So it is clear that Jnani Jiva's prana does not leave, but it leaves the body. Physical body it leaves, but doesn't leave the Chidabhasa, that Jiva nucleus consisting of all the three. That means the prana does not leave the Jnani Jiva. It means wherever Jiva goes, prana will accompany the Jiva. From that it is also concluded that when Jnani Jiva is within the body, the prana will be within the body. And at the time of death, when the Jiva leaves the body, but prana also leaves the body, but prana will not leave the Jiva. It will be always along with the Jiva nucleus. Jiva, let us say, is the husband and prana is the wife and body is the house. You can think all of them together in nice families. Prana will leave the body, but prana will not leave Jiva. At the time of death, prana separation from body takes place, but prana does not leave the Jiva. This should be clear. There should be no confusion on this. Therefore, Sharirat Yeva Pratishedaha. So the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam only negates prana's departure from Jiva and it does not negate prana's departure from body. That was the confusion Purvapakshi had. He quotes, if prana does not leave the body, body will not die and all that. And second argument is, Madhyandina Shaka Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, prana does not leave the Jiva but does leave the body. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Pradishedadidi chete na sharirat. Pradishedat means this is our view. The prana of Jnani does not leave the body at the time of death. Since such an event is negated by Shruti. Idi chet, Purvapakshi's refutation of our view. If this is what you are telling, if this is the contention, na. It is not so. Sharirat, the departure of prana from the jiva is negated in the Shruti statement. Now the departure of prana from the jiva is negated in the Shruti statement. Now we will see the significance of these words. Pradishedat means refers to Shruti negation. Departure of prana from body, Shruti negation. If you take such statement, your conclusion is wrong. He questions our interpretation. So, Sharirat, departure of prana from Jiva is negated, not from the body. Prana can leave back from the body, but it goes with Jiva. At no time, prana will leave the Jiva, Jiva nucleus. That has to be understood. Because that only travels to go and occupy another body. Now we'll see your answer also in the next sutra, Sutra 13. Spashto he kesham. Important sutra. Spashto he kesham. 13th sutra, 2nd pada, 4th chapter, 508 running Brahma Sutra. And Vyasacharya gives one answer and Shankaracharya gives two answers. We will see Shankaracharya's answers first. Vyasa's answer is slightly different. And instead of analyzing the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam, Shankaracharya says, our Siddhanta is correct if you see other portions of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad statement itself. In that statement, there are other portions of the same mantra. Shankaracharya dwells in this portion and solves the problem also for us. He says, if you read the previous and later part of the same section in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you will not have confusion. That is why we should have systematic study. Normally, what do we say? Well, we normally take one sutra, one line somewhere, and then try to keep hours of lectures. Doesn't work. You have to do this reading in its entirety. So the previous five mantras, we quoted the sixth mantra. In the four previous five mantras, that is 4.4.1 to 5, they deal with, in Brihadaranyaka, they deal with the departure of Ajnani Jiva. All are Ajnani Jiva now. Towards the end of fifth mantra, the direction of departure is governed by the desire of the Jnani. It is all set there. Ato kalu ahuhu. Kamamayaha evayam purushaha iti saha yata kamo bhavati tat kratur bhavati yat kratur bhavati tat karma kurute yat karma kurute tad abhisampadyate. It says every ajnani jiva leaves the physical body and the direction of travel depends upon the desire of the leaving jiva yata kamo bhavati. So having talked about Ajnani's travel based on his desire, the Upanishad concludes the portion, iti nu, that is, it concludes the lot of the desire, the travel is governed by the kama that he has. Kama yamanaha. Iti nu kama yamanaha. Atha indicates, it is now changed, the topic is changed. Atha means changes the topic. It introduces the new topic of departure of jnanis who is desireless. Up to that, ajnani was talked, and then it talked about a jnani who is desireless. Therefore, the Upanishad says, akami's prana does not leave, means it does not leave the body. The present topic is prana is not leaving the body alone. The whole topic is ajnani kami's prana's departure from the body. Ajnani kami's, the one who desires. In the case of ajnani kami. Now, akami's prana, one who has no desire at all, that is talked about. We talk, all this, I read all these words. It should be negation of the departure from the body alone. Should be the negation of the departure from the body alone because It is in the, from the body it goes. Purva apara vichara, that talks of departure from the body and not from jiva in this particular case. So it goes with jiva. Departure of the body, it acknowledges. So Shankaracharya says, all pranas along with jiva dissolves into Brahman. For whom? For a jnani. All pranas along with jiva, because jnani has no travel as we told. So they all dissolve into Brahman. That is how it is put. So when all pranas with jiva dissolves into Brahman, where is the question of prana traveling at all? At the time of death, for a jnani, all pranas, all panja prana, all pranas, can I say all of them, and all the other sutras and all that, with jiva, along with jiva, reflector consciousness, the nucleus, they dissolve into Brahman. Where is the question of prana traveling? A doubt may come. It may travel to Brahman for merger. Right? People may say it can travel to Brahman for merger. That is the stupidest question because this question should not arise. It doesn't have to travel anywhere for merger to Brahman. Jiva is going to Brahman is a ridiculous question. However, Upanishad quotes a mantra here itself. Within the body itself, Brahman is there. Even though that confusion might come to somebody, it should not come. But Upanishad still quotes a mantra here itself. Within the body itself, Brahman is there. Therefore, Jiva along with Prana dissolves into that Brahman which is in the body. And therefore, there is no question of departing. This is first argument. And Shankaracharya gives a second argument also. It is Shruti-based logic. It comes in the in Mundaka Upanishad, in the third chapter, third Mundakam, second section, second chapter, and the second mantra. And the mantra reads as, Kamanyaha Kamayate Manyamanaha Saha Kamabirjayate Tatra Tatra Paryapta Kamasya Kritatmanasprihaiva Sarve Priviliyante Kamaha. Priviliyanti Kamaha. The one whomsoever entertains desires, kama, thinking of them, is born again here. Here means Ihaloka. And he, and that on account of his desires, he is again born. But of him who has his desire fully satisfied, the person whose desires are fully satisfied, who has no more desire, who is a perfect person, all his desires vanish even here itself on the earth. He doesn't have to be reborn. They all vanish here itself. There is no desire for him at all anymore. So kama is responsible for jiva's punarjanma. That is the conclusion. So now going through all that, the desire is responsible for the jiva's punarjanma. Therefore, desire is responsible for travel after death. Then we have to put all the corollaries. Desire is responsible for the travel after death. It is responsible for sukshma shariram leaving the stura shariram. Or desire is responsible for prana leaving the body. So we go for shopping when we want something better. So in the case of, same way here also in the case of jiva, jiva wants a better body. So Shankaracharya argues, if kama is cause for prana utkranti, kama nasha will certainly stop prana leaving the body. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is very clearly stated. Jnani is akamaya manaha. Using Mundaka logic, prana cannot leave the physical body. And therefore, the conclusion is what? Prana does not leave the jiva. We are coming to that only all the time. It does not leave the body. Now comes the last question. Your logic proves this. But it says, how to account for the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Madhyantina Vakyam, which says Madhyantina Shaka, which says prana does not leave jiva. This is the Purvapakshi's argument. What is the proof you have? What is the logic you have? But the Shankaracharya says, since the majority of Upanishad Vakyams and the logic also supports our argument, if one Vakyam contradicts, what you should do? It should be interpreted in keeping with others. Do not say immediately negates. It should be interpreted in keeping with others. So you should read it again. You should take the Lakshyartha and not the Vachyartha of Tasmat. Vachyartha of Tasmat is Shariram. And Lakshyartha is the Jiva, Jiva nucleus. In the Sutra, Vyasacharya gives a different answer. If the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam is confusing, he goes to another Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself. There is another Brahmanam. It is called Arthabhaga Brahmanam, third chapter, second Brahmanam, 11th mantra. And in that mantra, there is a dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Arthabhaga. Yajnavalkya tiho vacha yatrayam purushaha mriyate. Udasmat pranaha kaman kramanti aho neti neti ho vacham yagyavalkyah atraiva samavaniyante saham uchchavayatim adhyamayatim aadmayatim and aadmato mrutaha shethe. So the meaning of the dialogue is what? When such a person, liberated person, dies. He is already Jivan Mukta, he dies. Do the vital breaths, all his pranas, move up from him or do they not? That is the question. Uchavayati. So all this, the vital breaths, do they, all this, the breath, do they leave him or not? And Yajnavalkya says, no. Yajnavalkya says, no. That's what he says. They are gathered together in him. He, the body of the such a jnani, the body swells up. He is inflated after death. That's right. And thus inflated the dead body, that dead body lies there. Then naturally a question will come. What is the doubt is, if jnani's prana does not leave the body, then jnani will be eternal. He will not die. All sages will be alive. All the sages should be all alive all the time. And Yagyavalkya expects this question. Yes, Yagyavalkya, if you see Brihadaranyaka, it's a very, very extremely nice Upanishad. With Yagyavalkya, so many great revelations. So he expects the question and he says, prana does not leave the body, but it does not say in the body also. Artha Bhagavan is a very interesting one. So prana does not leave the body, prana, but it does not stay in the body also. Then what happens to it? Prana dissolves into Brahman. That is the Brahman, which is in the body also. So Brahman is present, Brahman is everywhere. In the body also it is there. So this prana dissolves into Brahman. Now, the body is without prana and the prana did not go out, but it dissolves into Brahman. And that body without prana, prana rahita deha, that body bloats and expands because it is filled with bahya prana, outside oxygen. So lies the dead body of jnani. These are all statements given in the Upanishads. So don't go through too much of reasoning. And Vyasacharya says, all these are clear from another Brahmanam, Artha Bhaga Brahmanam. So by thorough study of another Brahmanam called Sharirika Brahmanam also, and study of Artha Bhaga Brahmanam, we come to know that jnani's body does not live. Prana does not live. And jnani's jiva state is totally different from that of the upasaka jiva's mukti. That we have to be understanding clearly. Jnani's jiva state, jnani jiva state is totally different from that of upasaka jiva's mukti. One is krama mukti, upasaka jiva's mukti is called krama mukti, and the other one is sadhyo mukti. Jnani jiva, prana does not leave the body at all. For which Vyasacharya quoted the fourth chapter, fourth section, sixth mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And Sankaracharya said, even 4.4.6 of Brihadaranyaka is not confusing for the thinking people. If somebody can really analyze properly, even for them, there is no confusion at all. But other people might have confusion, but there is no confusion there also. Shankaracharya contends that statement itself is self-revealing. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. Maybe I may not be able to have enough time to finish. Maybe let me try. Spashto he kesham is a sutra. I may take maybe a couple of more minutes. That is the 13th sutra, second pada, fourth chapter, 508th running Brahma Sutra. Him, it is not so. Because spashtaha is negation of departure of prana from body is clear. It is clear. Spashtaha is clear. What is clear? Negation of departure of prana from body is clear. Ekesham, in the Vedic portion, preserved by some people. So, we should understand what is preserved by some people and all. We'll come to that. So, the significance of the words is what? So, spashtaha means it's clear. So the negation of the departure of prana of a jnani from the body is very clear. Negation is clear. Negation of the departure of prana of a jnani from the body is very clear. Ekesha, in some other Vedic portions. Here, just an aside point we should see. In the olden days, Veda was never in written form. All these print and cassette tapes and all we have only today. There was never written form, all oral tradition. And they never referred to from the books, and it existed only in the brains of the Veda parties, Vaidikas. They cannot refer to library or a book. Veda means Vaidika only those days. And whenever they wanted to have Shruti Pramanam, they go to the Vaidikas for Shruti Pramanam. So Shukla Yajurveda Adhyayi, and they go to him. And by referring to the Adhyayi, Vyasacharya refers to Veda itself and not to the people. So the Shaka Adhyayina, all those people, Shaka Adhyayis. And he means the reason. So because of this reason only, therefore we ascertain jnani's jiva does not travel, because you go to the adhyayis and they say the mantra correctly and then you find out. We don't have any proof to find out the above statement. You cannot understand by studying the dead body also. Body bloating can happen for all the bodies. We cannot have any indication at all because it is based on apaurushaya veda pramana. That some jiva travels and that some jiva merges into Brahman is Shastra Pramanam alone. Again, we don't have any other proof except Shastra Pramanam. Veda is the primary source of knowledge. This is a fact. And if you treat Veda as secondary source of knowledge, it is hypothesis which waits for scientific proof. Then if If you take Vedas, Apramanam, all these are simply cut and put story only for such people. It all depends on one's attitude towards Veda. So first you should generate the attitude to accept Veda as Pramanam for all the Apurushaya Vishayas. And Veda is primary Pramanam for Purva Uttara Mimamsakas, for Purva Mimamsaka also, for Uttara Mimamsaka also. Veda is secondary Pramanam for Nyaya Vaisheshikas. And Veda is Apramanam for Jainas and Bauddhas. We have seen all these things in the very beginning. And the word he has been used because we are Mimamsakas. As the story goes, Shankaracharya wanted to meet Mandana Mishra in his house. And he inquired the people, where is his house? And all the people told, even birds would say Veda in his house. You go to that house where the birds also will say Vedas. So is it primary or secondary Pramanam? He established Swada Pramanam. Shankaracharya did not spend time at all to establish Veda as primary Pramanam because Purva Mimamsakas, Mandana Mishra was one, had already established negating the Nyaya Vaisheshikas. Already they have negated them. And Jainas and Bauddhas, Jaimini, Kumaralabhatta, all those great rishis, they have driven Bauddha from India and also refuted Nyaya Vaisheshikas also. Vedas, Swada Pramanya, had already been established. Actually, in Jaimini Sutra itself, there is a nice sutra for 1.1.5 of Jaimini Sutra, I have written here. Autpattikastu shabdasya arthenam sambandhastasya jnanam upadesho vetirekascha arthenupalabdhe tat pramanam badarayanasya anapekshatvat. Vedantins had already accepted this fact. So Vedantins assumes every person who comes to Vedanta had already analyzed and understood Veda is a fact and no proof is required. Whenever somebody comes to Vedanta, already it is expected of them to understand Veda is the Pramana. No proof is required for that. If Veda is a Pramana, there is no need of study at all. So we should accept Veda is primary source and accept as a matter of fact in all these places. And it should be taken as the sixth sense organ, which does not require further validation. For example, we don't have to validate our eye separately because it is validated by itself. Veda is like an eye. That is how Acharya concludes here. Yeah? So let me stop with this now. And we will continue next class. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.